Deanna Shields, and you're listening to The Cozy Sleuth. Today, Snoops and Sleuths, I have with me Krista Nardi, here to talk about her books, writing, and all things cozy. Krista, would you like to introduce yourself to my Snoops and Sleuths?
Sure. I'm Krista Nardi, as Leanne mentioned, and I write cozy mysteries and have been probably writing for many years, but only have published since, I think, 2016. And I really enjoy reading and writing cozy mysteries.
Yeah, cozy mysteries are great. So is any of your writing inspired by your actual life?
Yes and no. I mean, there's no way my life hasn't influenced my thinking. And I'm not a young person. So I have met a lot of people in my lifetime and worked in a number of states, in a number of different jobs, had a number of different roles. And so the settings and the characters are all sort of amalgamations. They aren't a single person. None of them are real people. They kind of got all smushed together. And so that's how they are unique in that way. But I mean, the other thing is none of them ever murdered anybody and none of them were sleuths. So, I mean, I don't know if you want me to talk more about my background.
Oh, please. My Snoops and Sleuths would love to know more about you.
Well, I have a psychology background. I am a psychologist. And so part of what comes into my writing, I'm sure, is some of the psychology that has definitely, over the years, exposed me to a variety of people and experiences and information and settings, more so than other careers, I think.
Sounds fascinating. Why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about your books, titles and whatnot?
Okay. The first series is Murder at Cold Creek College. And that actually, when I wrote it, that was my setting. I was working as a faculty member. And so that whole series has to do with Sheridan Henley. She's the main character. And different things that could go on a campus. And also murders, although there was never a murder on any of the campuses I worked on. So I just kind of added that piece. And there's 5 books in that series. And then by the end of the series, it's kind of obvious even from the titles, instead of just a murder, there's a murder and a wedding. And Sheridan gets married to the detective who investigated the crime in the first one. And then she moves because they're going to live closer to where he works. And so then that kind of, there's a spinoff series of the Sheridan Henley series. And this is her new life, her second life, if you will. And she is stepmom and wife all of a sudden. And she works part-time as an academic, but she is still sleuthing. So that's 2 series, but they're linked. One jumps right into the next one. The third series is the Stacey Maroney series. And I guess I should point out Sheridan is in her 40s when the series in Cold Creek starts. So she's on the older side. And a lot of that one has to do with family and dealing with blended families and the ex-wife. So that's got another twist to it altogether. The Stacey Maroney mysteries. Stacey Maroney is in her 30s. She is in the process when the series starts of getting divorced. The papers have been served and she's just waiting for her then estranged husband to sign off on them and somebody kills him.
Ooh.
And so she is also in a way starting over. She has a new place she's living in, but right now she has to deal with the fact that the wife is always the first suspect. And then that all gets changed because somebody's after her and nobody really knows why they're after her, but they think she has something. And so that series just keeps going as she figures out who she is and develops and moves forward. That series does have a slant to it. Somebody told me I was on the edge of cozy with it because aside from being an HR specialist, she works as a volunteer dealing with victims of domestic violence. So there is kind of that theme of awareness of domestic violence through all of those books.
Mm.
I also just released the first in a new series, and Izzy is in her 20s, and she is a very reluctant restaurant owner, but really wants to go back to what she was doing before her parents died and she and her sister had to take over the family restaurant. And so she wants to go back to investigating crimes and corruption and whatever else is going on. And so that one has just started. And there's one other series, and I co-write that one with Cassidy Salem. And it is a teen sleuths mystery with two sisters. And it's the Hannah and Tamar series. And so they all deal with issues that kids face in high school.
Wow, you run the whole age gamut with your sleuths.
Yep, I try not to get stuck at one. And I worked in the schools for a long time. So dealing, and my preferred population was adolescents. So it seemed like nobody really wants to talk about these issues like bullying and other things that are going on. So that's sort of what was involved there.
Oh, all of those sound really interesting. So do you have any advice for those who want to write their own cozies?
I think that part of my advice would be sit down and write, see what you have. But the second more, after you've started writing and you're sitting there going, I have no idea what I'm doing here, is to go to writer's workshops. Most states have writer's workshops. There's a local writer's workshop in my community, and they offer workshops on just about everything. I'd also recommend, if for no other reason than because they're lots of fun, going to some of the national conferences, Malice Domestic, BoucherCon, Killer Nashville. They all have a lot of different workshops on everything from writing and plotting, character development, and how to infuse humor, to all of the stuff nobody wants to talk about or do, and that's the marketing side. And they can give you lots of information on publishing and independent publishing versus what to look for in agency contracts. So you really have to do more than just write the book. You have to do a lot of learning. And the other thing that's really helpful is if you can find somebody who isn't your best friend or your spouse or your mother to read what you've written to give you an actual critique.
That is all excellent advice. And you're so true. Nobody wants to do the marketing side of writing. It is like the hardest part of being an author. Mm-hmm. From the, okay, I've gotten my book published. When everyone starts writing, they think, okay, I'm going to have a big contract and the publisher's going to take care of everything. I hate to break it to you, snoops and sleuths out there who are wanting to pursue this. They don't take care of everything unless you are a huge name.
Yeah, and from what I've understood from some of the writers' groups on Facebook, they're doing less and less.
Yes, unfortunately. So it's up to us to figure out the scary world of social media, the how to get our books into signing locations, things like that.
Yeah, and unless you're really rich, because you could hire a personal assistant or somebody to do all of your graphics and do all your marketing, but I mean, that tends to get rather expensive. And as somebody who's starting out, it's really hard to figure out that this is going to be worth my money. And then how do you choose the person? Because anybody could say, I'm a personal assistant.
Absolutely. And also with even just designing those covers off the, just starting off with me and my books, at first I had a friend of a friend designing the covers and she did some beautiful artwork, but she also recently found her dream job. So that ended up with me having to find another publisher and all that and getting new covers and everything. So yeah, you're going to be faced with that possibility too if you're an independent author or things like that. So
I think part of it is that what you visualize your character looking like is not going to match what somebody else visualizes.
Absolutely.
And there's more graphics besides the cover, and finding somebody who can design a cover that matches what your vision is not easy.
Yeah, very not easy. So do you have a favorite character in all your series, or would you get in trouble with your other characters?
Actually, I can't say that I prefer one over the other. I enjoy writing all of them. And there are characters in each of the story besides the female protagonists that I really enjoy writing because I do try to get somebody quirky in there somewhere. And so those are fun. And so I enjoy writing them all. So no, I wouldn't say I have a favorite character.
That is actually, I think that has to be a first. In all the times I've asked that question, usually there is one that's a favorite, but it's great that you don't have a favorite.
No, and I enjoy writing all the different age ranges, so it's hard to compare them and say one's better than the other.
Yeah, I know. So would you say you have an author that's most influenced your writing, or?
Honestly, no. I have to say I've been reading, I read voraciously. I've read voraciously as a child. I still read every day. And I'm not just reading my own stuff. I'm reading other people's stuff. And I read cozy mysteries. I read traditional mysteries, romantic suspense. I read science fiction and fantasy. I think that when somebody says, what's the author that stands out in your mind? I remember reading Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier way back when, but that isn't a cozy. And I don't know that she actually influenced my writing. I have favorite authors, but I don't even have a favorite author. There are authors who, when something comes out, I go and buy it. I'm on their notification lists. But I can't say that after reading for 50 years or more, much more, than that a single author has ever really influenced my writing.
Oh, that's great. That means your writing probably has a good balance of you and all that you've read.
That's about how I think it is, because I do read so many different things and they come from different fields. And so between that and all the jobs I've had, it's like, okay.
Yeah. I'm big on reading too. And I'm kind of the same way. I couldn't put my finger on what I'd say my favorite author is.
I've done interviews where they ask that and it's like I list five or six and I go, and more.
So if you and one of your older main characters sat down for coffee or whatever their preferred mode of caffeine intake is, what kind of beverage would they have?
Well, Sheridan is a coffee addict. And she doesn't care what kind it is. It's just got to be coffee. Stacy drinks a lot of coffee, but she prefers skinny mocha latte from Starbucks. And it's kind of ironic because I don't drink coffee at all. I don't even like the smell of coffee. But I realize that most adults drink coffee. Me, I'd be drinking Diet Coke.
Oh, that's great. So it sounds like your characters would probably get along with my female main character. She is, like you said, a coffee addict. In fact, so much so that she goes to her town's small coffee shop and her friend's always like, let me guess, raspberry mocha latte?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the most recent book that's still in draft form and hasn't released yet, somebody breaks into Sheridan's house. And her first question is, they didn't, and they knock over a bunch of stuff. And the first question is, they didn't break the Keurig. The Keurig did it. I mean, you know, that's her major concern. Can she have her coffee?
Oh, that's great. So when you're not writing, do you have any hobbies you like to do?
I like to travel. I don't know that you call that a hobby, but now that I'm at least semi-retired, I like to travel and get as much travel in as I can. I enjoy reading. I write. I also like to dance and was a square dancer for many years. And that's kind of petered off because my husband just doesn't want to do it anymore. And other than that, I do stuff with my granddaughters. I have three, and play with my dog. And gardening.
That's all great. I tried gardening once and yeah, I ended up with some good vegetables from the garden, but our neighbor always said it looked like a miniature cemetery.
Oh, well, that's not good. That's not good.
It's not.
Yeah. My dad was really big into gardening, and so I think I got the gardening bug from him. And I'm really happy to say that I have roses blooming. So that's really exciting because they didn't bloom with all the cold we had this winter. Now they're blooming. So we have red roses and yellow roses so far.
Oh, pretty. Roses are a hardy flower, though, I've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little rose bush out in front of the house that my mom has actually tried to get rid of because we have Japanese beetles around here and figure if the beetles are going to get it, why let... But every time she tries to get rid of it, oh, look, it's back. And it's blooming again.
Yeah, they do really well. I'm from New England and we had always had roses. I mean, and they'd be covered in snow for months and then they'd still bloom. So that was always good.
So how can my snoops and sleuths follow you?
Well, I have an Amazon page. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Pinterest, I do have a website, and I also have a blog. And my blog is pretty much reserved for reviews of books I'm reading or I've read, or when I have a release.
Wow.
I think I've covered most of social media.
Yeah, it looks like you have.
So and I am on Goodreads.
Oh.
Forgot that one.
I can't remember if you sent me the links ahead of time, but if you send me the links, I'll be sure to include them in the show's notes.
Okay, I will do that. because I don't think I did.
Ah, oh, I've had so much fun chatting with you. I can't believe we're on the last question already. What is one complaint your characters would have about you as an author?
Well, I think that they might be a little upset with the fact that they have to watch their language all the time. I mean, even the bad guys have to watch their language. And there's a little bit of romance in them, but nothing that is on print. So it's kind of implied, but you know, it's their cozies.
Yeah. Truthfully, I have a little bit of the problem with the language too, because one of my characters is an army veteran. And it's like, okay, it feels like it'd be natural for him to cuss right now, but I can't because this is a cozy. So I just have to say, well, he let an expletive loose or whatever.
Yep, or he managed to keep his mouth shut because Maddie was in the room. She's the child in Sheridan's series. Or I heard him swear and he doesn't usually do that. I mean, it's like, but you can't actually, and yes, there are times when it would be perfectly, that would be normal.
Yeah. But
so I think that sometimes it's a little stilted.
I think the closest my main character gets to swearing is when something frustrates her and she's like, oh, for magic's sake.
Yeah, I don't think, well, actually Sheridan is pretty easygoing. So is Stacy. It's usually the other characters that are a little more vocal. Yeah. But they aren't vocal on paper, so it's okay.
Yeah.
You just know, they just cursed. He swore.
Oh. Well, it's been great talking with you.
And you too. Thank you very much for inviting me to chat with you.
Well, thanks for accepting the invitation and joining me on my show. It's authors like you that let me have a show. So, well, Snips and Sleuths, you've heard another great interview here on The Cozy Sleuth. I'd like to thank my patrons, Regina, Cozy Cub, Dour Bear, and Patty Paul for their contributions in keeping the show commercial-free and growing. I'd like to thank my Coffee Klatch for their contributions as well. If you'd like to be like my patrons and have your name mentioned on the air, join me on my Patreon page at patreon.com/thecozysleuth or join my Coffee Klatch at coffee.com/thecozysleuth. That's ko-fi.com/thecozysleuth. And if you'd like to hear cozies read by live actors, check out the Cozy Mystery Rat's Maze, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Until next time, this is Leanna Shields saying, keep cozy.